Begin the current daf, Masechet Sanhedrin, daf Kuf Aleph. Begin 5 lines down for the top of the Amud. But the Gemara continues in the related discussion from the previous daf, which we were discussing in Apikiris. Someone that does not treat Torah scholars with proper respect does not have a portion of the world to come. So the Gemara continues a related discussion regarding not having proper respect towards Torah. Tanabam learned the Braisa. Hakari Pasik Shal Shir Hashim. If someone recites a Pasik, a verse in Shir Hashim, Va'isa Isakim in Zeman, he makes it into like a song, which he sings it with a tune, which is not the one that's used to read from it, from the Torah. He rather turns it into a song, although it's from Shir Hashim, which is a song of songs, and its primacy is the format of a song. Still, one cannot use the words to make a song out of it. Rather, in the recital of the words of the Pasuk for the purposes of laning from it. And Va'akoyer Pasuk, Bebeis Mishtois B'leis Ma'anei, similarly, someone who reads a Pasuk in the party house, not in his appropriate time, meaning at a time when they're reclining with wine and they're making jokes with the words of Torah, and they're reciting Pesukim out loud and laughing out of it at the party, maybe Ra'la Olam, that brings bad to the world. Now, however, as we'll see at the end, if someone says the words of Torah in its appropriate time, bat festivities, for example, on the Yom Tov, and he takes a cup of wine in his hand, and he says in the words of Haggadah and Pesukim from the topic of the day, that brings good to the world. But if someone uses it in an inappropriate way, it brings bad to the world. And they shatayr chagerasak, because the Torah cloths itself with a sackcloth. Vaymenzislav ne'akadosh baruch, and it stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, vaymerislav, and it says in front of Hashem, Rebbein Hashem, master of the world. Asuni banecha kekiner, your sons, your children made me, the words of Torah, like a flute, like a harp. Shemenagnum b'leitzim, that the scoffers make songs out of it, and they're laughing using the words of Torah that's supposed to bring inspiration and making things that are not appropriate for the words of Torah. So Amalah Hashem says to the Torah, Biti, my daughter, when Jews are eating and drinking, but ma'isask, what should they be involved in? So Amalah Fandam, so the Torah says in front of Hashem, Rebbein Hashem, master of the world, im bali mikrahein, if there are those who know Pesukim from the Torah, Yasku b'Torah b'Nevi'im k'suvim, let them be involved in reading from Tanakh, from Torah b'Nevi'im k'suvim. In Bali Mishnein, if there are those who know Mishnayis, Yasku b'Mishnah, b'Alochas, b'Agadot, they should be involved in the words of the Mishnayis, Haggadic teachings, and Halochas. In Bali Talmud, and if there are greater Talmudic scholars, they learn Talmud, Yasku b'Hilchas Pesach, b'Pesach, they should be involved in Halochas of the Yom Tov, let's say Pesach on Pesach, b'Chas Atzeres b'Atzeres, b'Chas Chag b'Chag, on Shavuos, the Halochas of Shavuos, and on Sukkos, the Halochas and the Inyanim of Sukkos, and therefore that's what they should be saying, not making songs out of my words that are not the spirit of what the Torah is supposed to be producing. Now, Hadrib Shimon ben Elazar, Shimon ben Chananya says, Kol Ikar Pasuk Bezmane, as we said before, whoever recites a Pasuk in its appropriate time, on the Yom Tov, for words of inspiration, maybe Tayyib Elaylam, then he brings good to the world. Shalom, like it says, the Pasuk in Mishli, V'davar Be'itai, and something in its appropriate time, Mat Tayyib, how good is it? So the words of Tayyib at a Suda does have a place, but it has to be one for the purposes of Tayyib and Lishma, and for Hashem, and not for other types of purposes. Now, the Gemara continues delineating those who, as our opening mission in the Perek said, in lam chelik lamabah, do not have a portion of the world to come, is valeichesh alamaka b'chul. If someone recites an incantation, some type of a phrase, over a wound that he has, he does not have a portion of the world to come. Now, Amr B'yechan, he qualifies as uberekikba. We're talking about where the person spits, where that's the way the Malach Hashem used to do, that they would spit before they would say this incantation, and it's forbidden to recite a pasuk on a lechisha. Why? Lefisha in maskirin shem shemayim al rekika, because one cannot recite the name of heaven on spit. Now, there are those that they would recite the lachash and then spit afterwards, and moreover, they would say it in a different language in the lachash. And that brings Rashi, that's permitted because the problem of the loichish is only after the rekika, because it looks like the one is reciting the name of Hashem on the spittle. And also the only problem is when one uses Lashon HaKodesh, but in some other language, that's not a problem. Now, in my, we learned that Rav Amar, he says that Afila, he says even more than this. He says, even if someone makes the lachash on a pasuk that does not have the Shem Hashem, does not have the name of heaven on the spittle, rather, he recites the pasuk of, let's say, what it says in Meyuk Yud Gimel, Nega Tzaras, Kisiyah Ba'adam will be in the person, Behuva Lakayin will be brought to the Kayin. If someone recites that pasuk for the purposes of healing, he does not have a portion of the world to come, even though it doesn't even mention Hashem's name over there. And Rabchaninam, he says even more than that, he says, Afil of Yikra al Maisha, even if someone recites the pasuk of that Hashem called to Maisha, which there's no name of Hashem, it just says Yikra al Maisha, neither does the person even have any illness or any Nega, where it's not fit to even recite it on the Makkah. He just says the Pasuk, and he's not saying it for healing purposes. Rather, he thinks that he'll be able to save himself from the merit of the words of Torah that he's saying. Even that is a problem about being loichash, included in this problem of a loichash. It's not even loichash al Makkah, even just being malachash at all, not even on the Makkah, even without Hashem's name, your person cannot use the words of Torah for his own purposes, like to save himself. Tarbonu in the Braisa, Sachin umemashmishin bivnei mamayim, person could anoint and rub his intestines of a sick person b'Shabbos on Shabbos, and there's no problem about refu, which is rabbinic prohibition on Shabbos, because sicha, anointing, is compared to drinking, which just like one could drink on Shabbos, one could anoint on Shabbos. So too, v'leichesh in lechishas nechashim akrav m'Shabbos, which is why we brought this in regarding lechisha, one could make these incantations regarding snakes and scorpions on Shabbos so that they should not harm the person, and there's no problem about what would be maybe considered tzeid about trapping, because it's like trapping them with the lechisha, that's not a problem. Umavirin kli al gava ayin b'Shabbos, and one is allowed to put a vessel, a cup, over the eye on Shabbos, either because that they would take some type of a metal vessel on top of the eye to cool down the eye, or they would make for a person that has having eye problems, they would surround it with something circular like a cup, which like a ring around the eye, that would be healing. And that's not a problem to do that, because that's not something that has type of herbs which would be included refuah, although this is healing. It's like an ice pack which one could put on an inflammation. It's the same thing. It's not something that could bring to the whole problem of refuah, which is teichen of grinding the herbs on Shabbos. Amr Bishim Galil, he qualifies over this last halacha. He says, "But Medev Amrum, when did we say that you could do this with the metal cup? Is Bukli HaNitl. It's only a utensil that's allowed to be moved. It's not mukta, like a key or a knife or a ring. Bukli and a nitl also, but a kli that a vessel can't be moved because it's mukta, whatever type of mukta it is, that's set aside not for Shabbos use, and the also that then would be forbidden to use." Continues the Brisa, "Ve'ein Shoylin B'Dvar Sheid M'Shabbos. One cannot inquire regarding an element of demons on Shabbos, because that's what they used to do when they would lose something. They would ask by the demons, and they would tell them, and it's forbidden to do that on Shabbos, because the Pasuk in Yeshayahu Nun Ches says, Mimtzei Chefzecha. You're not allowed to be involved in doing activities that are related to your own personal needs on Shabbos, which is trying to find a lost object. So even that would forbidden would to request by the Shadim where it is. Now Rabbi Yisrael, I mean, he says, Af b'choy las. He says, even during the weekday, it's forbidden to be shoyled by the Shadim, as the Gemara is going to explain later on, because of the danger that's inherent. Now, Amr Rav Huna, he says, and there's actually different girsayas over here, either that halachic Rabbi Yisi, or the girsa is ain halachic Rabbi Yisi. Either way, halachic is possibly or not, depending on the girsa, like Rabbi Yisi that says that it's problematic to inquire by the Shadim even during the weekday. And says the Gemara of Af Rabbi Yisi Lamar, and even Rabbi Yisi did not say that it's forbidden, not because of intrinsic of halacha, it is halacha, but El Mishum Sakana, because of the danger inherent, one cannot do something dangerous, and therefore it becomes forbidden. As the Gemara says, Kihadar Vitzchak Bar Yosef, that he was shoyel something by the Shadim, and a Shade wanted to harm him, where the evil of Ba'arza, he got swallowed up to a cedar tree, and the miracle was done from Poka Arza Palte, the cedar burst open and it spit him out, but there's danger in there, but says Rabbi Yosef, one should never inquire by the Shadim. Tarmolin the Braisa, related to one of the halachas in the previous Braisa, Sachin umemashmashin bivnei ma'ayim b'Shabbos. A person is allowed to anoint himself and rub the area vigorously on the intestines on Shabbos. As long as he doesn't do the way it's normally done in the weekday, that's a problem of uvdin nechel. One cannot do a weekday type of activity, but it's no problem, as we said, of refuah, because the sicha, the anointing, is like drinking. Says Gemara Sahecha, but how should a person do on Shabbos? So Reb Chama, Reb Chanina, he says, Sach v'achakach memashmash. A person should first anoint the oil or whatever it is, and then rub it in, because that's a deviation, because during the week, first they would rub the area and then put on the lotion. Rabbi Yechonam, he says, Sach m'mashmash v'asachas, no, they should do both at the same time. Rub and put on the ointment at the same time. Tanam Amalim, the Braisa, continue on related to what we said previously regarding different types of Shadim. So Amalim, the Braisa says, Sari Shemen, the masters of the oil, which there are certain types of acts of demons, which are requested of the demons through oil, which those demons are called Sari Shemen. Vesari Beitzim, and the masters of the eggs, which some people would inquire by the demons through the eggshell, which they're called Sari Beitzim, says the Braisa Mutarin Lishal Behen, one is permitted to inquire of those demons, Ela, but because they lie, So therefore, people refrain from asking them anyway. Now, continues the Braisa that those who do the acts of demons, the way they usually do is leicheshen al shemesh bekli. They usually make their incantations on oil that's in the vessel. Vein leicheshen al shemesh beya, but they do not make their incantations for the demons on oil that's in one's hands, because that doesn't help. So says the Braisa, lafikach, therefore, sachen mi shemesh beya, one could smear himself from the oil that's in someone else's hand, and you don't have to be concerned that maybe a mice or shaden was done with it, and therefore it does not have the danger of shade, because people don't usually do a lechisha of shaden on oil that's in the hand. But ve'ein sachem shem shabakli, therefore we do not anoint ourselves from oil that's in someone else's vessel, because the act of shaden could be done on, and there might be shaden there which might be harmful for the person. As Gemara illustrates with a story of Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, ikla lehu ishpiz, they went to a certain host, they brought him oil in a vessel. Shaf, so he smeared himself with that oil on his face. Nufkin leit simchi ba'api, so he burst out with boils on his face. Nufik l'shuk, he went out to the marketplace. Chazisa he itza, there was a certain woman who saw him, and Amri, she said, Zika de chamas, the spirit of that shade, which is called chamas, k'chazinach, I see over here, I see in your face that she took a hold. Abdelei milsa v'itasi, so she did something, some type of a lechisha, and she healed him. Now, related to the pasuk of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following teaching. Amalei Rab Abba l'Rabba bar Mari. Ksiv, it says in the pasuk in Shemais, Kala machla shasanti v'mitzrayim lo osam alecha. Every illness which I placed in the Egyptians, that says Hashem, I'm not going to place on you. Kani Hashem refecha, because I'm Hashem, your healer. Now the question is, v'chim achash leisam, if he's not going to place those illnesses on us, so refu lama, what do we need healing? A doctor is when a person gets sick, when is ill. But Hashem is not going to bring those illnesses. So Amalei said to him, Hochem mirichin, this is what mirichin said. This pasuk is expounded from itself. How so? Kishnim, the pasuk says over there, V'yoyman, Hashem says, Im Shemaya Tishma L'Kol Hashem HaKechem, you're going to surely listen to the voice of Hashem, your God. What does that mean? Im Tishma Loyasim. If you listen, then Hashem will not place the illnesses. V'im Loy Tishma Asim. If you don't listen to Hashem, Hashem says, then I will place the illnesses. Afa Pikin, in spite of that, Kianne Hashem Refecha, that's the pasuk saying, I will heal you anyway. So there's two parts for two different types of people. The ones who listen will not get sick. The ones who don't listen will get sick, but still Hashem will heal the person. Now, continuing a related discussion about illness, how it's well, Hashem does it if a person doesn't listen to him, where it's a way of repentance. Amr Abba Bachani says, Kishchal Rebbe Eliezer, when Rebbe Eliezer became ill, Nichnasu Tamid Blavakar, his students came to visit him. Amr Hani said to his students, Chema Aza Yesh Boil, there's a strong anger in the world. In other words, he was referring to himself, that Hashem was upset at him, and therefore his illness was getting very strong. So his Chiluhin Boichin, so the students started crying. Rebbe Kiva Masachi, Rebbe Kiva was laughing. Amr Levi said to him, Lomat Masachi, why are you laughing? Amr Levi said to them, Chimim Neatam Boichin, why are you guys crying? Amr Levi said to him, "Efshar sefer Torah shor b'tzar v'linivka, what is a Torah scroll in pain?" Referring to Rabbi Eliezer, and we're not going to cry. Amr Hani said to them, "Lekachan emisachi, that's why I'm laughing." She calls mancha ni roy rabbi. As long as I see my teacher, she'en yenim achmetz, where his wine has not soured, vein pishtani loike, and his flax has not been ruined, vein shani mavish, and his oil has not spoiled, vein duv shani madvish, and his honey has not gotten ruined, meaning that where sometimes it gets liquidy because of the heat. And in other words, that I see he's being successful with everything. Amarti, I say, Shemachas v'shalom, maybe God forsake, Kibul Rabbi Olami, Olami. Maybe my teacher has received all his reward in this world. V'achshav shani roya Rabbi b'tzab, now that I see my teacher in pain, so now I realize that the reward is being reserved for him for the world to come. Therefore, ani sameach, that's why I'm happy. So Amalai, he said to him, Akiva, so Releza said to him, Kulum chisartim na Torah kula, did I miss from the Torah anything? That you're insinuating that I'm suffering because of my sins? Which, and therefore Hashem is reserving my reward for the world to come? So Amalai, Rabbi Akiva said to him, Limadetenu Rabbeinu, our teacher, you taught us the Pasuk in Ketlis that says, Ki odim in tzadik ba'aretz, there is no righteous person in the land, Asheyasa tevel yechta, that does good and doesn't sin. Everyone has some type of a sin, and therefore that's what you're receiving now for your suffering, but your reward is being saved for the world to come. Similar type of a story, when Rabbi Eliezer came sick, Nechnesu arba zekein levakri, four elders came to visit him. Reb Tarfon, Reb Yeshua, Reb Elazar, Ben Azariah, Reb Akiva. Then the Reb Tarfon spoke up and he said, "Tovat liYisrael, you Reb Eliezer, you're good to the Jewish people. Better mitibashal gashamim than a drop of rain. Shatibashal gashamim ba'il mazeh. A drop of rain is good in this world. For Rabbi ba'il mazeh ba'il mabo. But my teacher, you're good for us in this world and the world to come." And then Rabbi Shuv Amar, Rabbi Shuv spoke up and he said, Toivat l'Yisrael, Yisum Migalgal Chama, you're better for the Jewish people than the orb of the sun. Shagilgal Chama Ba'il Mazet, the orb of the sun is good in this world, not in the future, because ultimately the luminaries will actually be renewed in the world to come. For Da'abi Ba'il Mazet, Ba'il Mabah, but you, my teacher, you're good for us in this world and the world to come. And then Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, Rabbi Elazar ben Azari spoke up and he said, Toivat l'Yisrael, Yisum Av'Aim, you're better for the Jewish people than a father and a mother. Sha'avim boil mazek, as a father and mother is only for this world. For Rabbi boil mazek, boil mabo, you my teacher, you're for this world and the world to come. Then Rabbi Kiva spoke up and he said, Chavivin Yisrael, Yisurin, how precious are afflictions which they atone for you. So Amalahem, he said to them, Samchuni, support me, the Eshma Divri Akiva Tamidah, and we're going to listen to the words of Akiva, my student. Sha'amar Chavivin Yisurin, that he said, how precious are afflictions. Amalah, he said to him, Akiva, Zuminaylach, where do you know this from? Amar says, Mikrani Darish, I'm expounding a pasuk in Lachem Beis. Says, Ben Shtaim Esri Shana Menashe Bemalchei. 12 years was Menashe when he became king. V'chamishim mechamish Shana Malchei B'Yerushalayim Megayim, and 55 years he ruled in Yerushalayim, etc. V'yaser Rabbein and Hashem, he did the bad in the eyes of Hashem. Now, Uksiv, there's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, V'gitintam at Beis, Gam Eila Mishlei Shlema, and these are also the parables of Shlema, Asher Tiko Anshe Chizkiah Melch Yehuda, which were copied by the men of Chizkiah, the king of Yehuda, which those are referring to the students of Chizkiah, as the Gemara says in Baba Basa, that Tezvav Men Aleph, that Chizkiah and those colleagues wrote Sefer Mishlei. Now, we could obviously infer that Chizkiah was teaching Torah to the whole Jewish people, as the Gemara said on the Tzadi Dalam Men Aleph, that he stuck a sword by the entry of the base of Medrash, and everyone knew Torah throughout the whole land. So the question is, so Chizkiah, the king of Yehuda, taught Torah to the whole world. And he didn't teach Torah for his son Menashe? Of course he taught his son Menashe Torah. So how could his son Menashe have been such a wicked king? Rather, from all the effort that he put into his son to teach him Torah, and from all the effort that he put in, the only thing that brought him back to Yiddishkeit was afflictions. Shem like says the pasuk in Divrei Yomim Beis. It says Vayidaber Hashem al Menashe v'al Amoi. Hashem spoke to Menashe and to his people. But like Shiva, they didn't listen. So Chizkiah was a righteous king. His son was a wicked king, Menashe, and he didn't listen to Hashem. But Yav Hashem aleim esari hatzava shel Melech Asher. Hashem brought upon them, the Jewish people, the general that was for Melech Asher. But Yilkudu as Menashe b'cheichem, and they captured Menashe with hooks. V'yisru b'nechushtayim, and they imprisoned him with copper. And they brought him down to Bavel. Now, Ksiv, it says in the pasuk over there, Ukahatzerlai, when he was in pain, Chilas Pnei Hashem Lakav, he prayed and he beseeched the face of Hashem as God. And he was humbled very much in front of the God of his fathers. And he davened to Hashem. And Hashem listened to him and to his supplication. And he brought him back to Yerushalayim, to his kingdom. And Menashe knew that Hashem is the God. Now some Gersois have the words that my Avidle, what did they do to him? Shadi Bedudin and Chasha, they threw him into a copper cauldron. Bishadu Nur Tuse, and they lit a fire underneath him. Now Bamakam Tsar Tuva, he was in a lot of pain. Amar, he said to himself, Hey Chalava, what should I do? Nikraila Kadesh Baruch Hu, I should call out to Kadesh Baruch Hu, call Savai. He's upset at me. Nikraila Bedezar, I should call out to the idols, lest Bamashash, there's nothing of substance that Avidezar. So Masa, what did he do? Karla Gedan, I knew he called out to the great ones, didn't listen to him. Karla Gitanim, I knew he called out to the small ones, didn't listen to him. Amr, he said, Rebbe Nishlam, master of the world, honestly, if you listen to me, then you'll listen to me. V'ilay, and if not, Amina, even Amakabah said, I'm going to say, He, Hashem, is just like the rest. Miyad, immediately, V'yasalay says that he was listened to, Meshavul Malchus, and brought him back to his kingdom. So says Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Yaza, Holomata, Shechaviv, and Yisurin, you see how precious are Yisurin? His father taught Torah so much, and it was his own father, Meshavut to him, didn't help. What brought him back was the Yisurin in that hot cauldron that he then prayed out to Hashem, and that's what brought him back to Tyre, to Yiddishkeit, and if we see how precious are Yisur. Now, Tom Boyne learned the Braisa related to this incident that Shleishu Bo Balila, there were three that came in a roundabout type of a way, that they didn't really come to beseech and to really daven to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, they were coming in a crafty way. They were saying things that they knew there was not going to be a way to say no to it, and therefore they were successful, but they didn't really mean to connect. And Elohim, and those three are Kayan, Esav, Umanasha. Also, Kayan Dechsev, the first of the two sons of Adam Rishon, it says in Bereishis, where he says to Hashem, Gadol Avayni Minasai, is my sin too great to be carried? I'm Lefanim, because he killed his brother Hevel, he says in front of Hashem, Rebbein Yishol, master of the world, Klum Gadol Avayni, is my sin that greater? Mishishim Ribish Hasidin Lachlef Necha, from the 600,000 Jews that will ultimately sin in front of you by the Egel Vatasilech Lemin, you're going to atone for them? So it wasn't that he really was connecting to Hashem. He was just saying a good claim in court that was going to win, as Hashem let him live. Esav d'chsev, Esav, like it says in Bereishis, he says to his father, Yitzchak, after Yaakov has stolen the brachas, Habracha achasi l'chavi, father, do you have only one blessing that you gave to my brother and you have no more blessings to give to me? Which he knew his father could give him a blessing and he was successful and Yitzchak gave him another blessing. Menashe also came ba'alila, that he didn't really daven to Hashem because he connected with Hashem. It was only at the end where he says to Hashem, if you're not going to save me, oh, what are you better than all the avodah zarah that I prayed out to first? Which, like the pasuk says, that he was humbled in front of the God of his fathers, which sounds like that up until now, he was humbled in front of other gods. With betchila kar le'elohos harbet, first he called out to all the gods, ulebesev kar le'elohi avosav, and only at the end did he call out to the God of his fathers, to Hashem, and therefore that he had a good claim, but not that he really was coming with a true connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Mishnah said, Abishal Omer, he says, Afahiges Hashem b'siyosa v'chulu, also one who pronounces the ineffable name of Hashem with its letters, he does not have a chelik in Olam Haba. Now Tanu learned in the Braisa that when do we say that if someone pronounces the name of Hashem with its letters, he does not have a chelik in Olam Haba? That's ubegvulim. That's in areas out of the Beis HaMikdash. But in the Beis HaMikdash, then he would not be punished without a portion of the world to come, because there they do bless Hashem with pronouncing his name. And moreover, ubeloshen aga, that even in the Beis HaMikdash is problematic if one pronounces it in the Lashon of aga. What aga refers to is laz, meaning if he doesn't say Hashem's name with its letters in Lashon HaKadosh, rather some other language, like we find Lashon Bala'agei Safa, which is some other that's something that's it's not the primary, that's even the Beis HaMikdash would be problematic. So either one, according to this interpretation, is a problem. Either if he says it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, or even the Beis HaMikdash, if he uses some other language. However, another interpretation that Aga is not from like Laga, like Laz, but rather from the term of Uga, which is like a circle, meaning where a group of people are, where they speak mundane things, where Gvulin refers to out of the Beis HaMikdash. There it's forbidden to specify the 42-letter name of Hashem in the way of Aga out of the Beis HaMikdash. If he does this, then he doesn't have a portion of the world to come. But if he speaks about it in regarding sacred matters, then he doesn't get punished so much. And the Beis HaMikdash, since there they do specify there is not punished, so then it would be Ubegvulin out of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning in the place of where people speak mundane things, that's Aga, which is in the place of where people gather together for mundane purposes, that's the problem of saying, but in the Beis HaMikdash, then the person doesn't get punished and even out of the Beis HaMikdash, if he's saying it for sacred matters, then they wouldn't get punished so much, only the two of them together, which is problematic. Now the Mishnah said, Shleishim Alachim V'arbohed Yetzis V'chulu, three kings and four commoners, famous personalities, all did not have a chelik in Olam Haba. Now, one of them, the Gemara begins to discuss, Tarmon in the Braisa, one of them was Yeravim, the wicked king of the 10 tribes. Why was he called Yeravim? Says the Braisa, Shariva Am, because he laid the Jewish people low down, he lowered them from their status, he lowered the status of the Jewish people. Tavaracher, another interpretation, Yeravim is Sha'asa Mariva Ba'am, because he made fights in the nation, he made people fight with each other because over the idea of a Vaidazar. Because he introduced the Vaidazar, and this one was serving, this one was protesting, and it made fights in the Jewish people. Davach, another interpretation, Yerav Mishasim Riva ben Yisrael Avim Shabeshamayim. He made a fight between the Jewish people and their father in heaven. That was his name, Yeravim. He was Yeravim ben Nevat, the son of Nevat. Who was this Nevat? So it's Ben, he's the son of Shanivit, of the someone who thought he's going to look well and realize what's going on. But he did not see, meaning he made a mistake, as the Gemara is going to say later on, that his father, Nevat, saw fire coming out of his male member, and he thought it meant something, and really he made a mistake. Now, Tanu Lim, the Braisa says, who Nevat, this father of Yeravim, he's the same one that we know as Nevat, who Micha is the same one we know as Micha, and who Sheva ben Bichri is the one that we know from Nach as Sheva ben Bichri. Now, why was he called Nevat? Shenibet v'v'loi ra, because he looked, but he didn't see. Micha is because Shenismachmech Bevinyam, because he was crushed in the walls in Egypt, which he was placed in the wall in place of lime to make the bricks, as it's brought in the homiletic teachings that Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata Arei Salam Azel, like it says in the pasuk, you did bad to this people. Because now that you sent me, they don't even have bricks to use, and they're putting the Jewish children in place of the bricks. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, it's the thorns that I'm getting rid of. because it's revealed in front of me that had these people lived, they would have been completely wicked people. If you want, says Hashem, you could test and take one of them out. He went and took one of them out, and that was Micha, who that was from. He was crushed in the building, and he had taken him out, who became a wicked person. Another interpretation is that Nismach Mech, what does it mean he was, it's actually from the word of Mach, he became poor, Bibinyan, because he involved himself in building, which the Gemara says in Saita, if you know Alf and Alf, that whoever involves himself in building becomes poor. Umashmai, and what was his real name? Sheva ben Mechri, his name was Sheva ben Mechri. Now, talking about Linda Bryce, Shleisha Nivtu Bilei Ro, there were three individuals that looked but didn't see. And they are Nevat, Vachri Teifel, Vitzagnini Pari, and the astrologers of Pari. Nevat, as we mentioned before, that's why he was called Nevat, because he was Nibit, he looked, but he didn't see, is Ra Esh Sheyetziz Ma'amasa, he saw fire coming out of his male member. Who saw it? Iyumal, he thought that was a sign that he's going to be king. And therefore, as it says in Shmuel Beis, he strengthened, who we know that he's the same person known as Sheva ben Michri, and he gathered all the Jewish people to him because he wanted to rule, as the Pasuk says there in Shmuel Beis. And he thought he was going to, but Valahi, it was not the case. It was Yeravam, who did nothing, it was Yeravam, his son, that was coming out from him, which is pictured there in the male member, which comes out from him, which was the one that was going to be king, but not him. Similarly, Achitofel rod Tzaras, Rezechalai Alamasai. Achitofel saw Tzaras that was sprouting on his male member. Who saw it? Yumalach, he thought that was a sign that he was going to be king, and therefore he counseled Avshalom to take away the Melucha from David to Avshalom. And he thought, through what's going to happen, it'll end up coming to him and he'll be the king. But Vilahi, it was a mistake. Basheva Bita, who did not come in Shalem, it was his granddaughter Batsheva that will ultimately from her come out Shlema, who's going to be the king, but it wasn't going to be from him, and that was a mistake that he made. And the third one who saw, but who looked but didn't see, it's Tzagnini Pari, the astrologers of Pari, the Umri of Chamri of Chanin, says, Meidr Sev, what does it mean the Pasuk Bamidbar that says, Heima Me Meriva? These are the waters of strife, which ultimately was the downfall and the punishment of Moshe Rabbeinu of going into Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean, Hema, these are? Hema Shiro, it's Tagnini Paravato. These are the waters that the astrologers of Pari saw and they made an error, which is they looked but they didn't see. That Rosh HaMashin Shal Yisrael B'mayim Hulukah, they saw that the Savior of the Jewish people was going to be punished through water. So Amr, they said, as it says in the beginning of Shemais, Kala Benayilo Di'er Tashlechu, all the sons that are born shall be thrown into the river so that they could get rid of the Savior by getting him punished, getting him hurt in the water. But they didn't realize that it was regarding the event of the waters of strife, that because of the sin that Moshe said to the Jewish people, Shimu Nahamayim, listen to me, all you rebellious ones, he was punished and he did not enter into Eretz Yisrael. They were the third ones who looked but didn't really see appropriately. Now, Imar goes back to what we said before, Menolim de Le'asi, and where do we know that Yeravim does not come, La'amad de'asi, to the world to come, which the Gemara explains also later on regarding all the three kings and the four Hadyaitis, how do we know that they don't have a Chegloy Mabah? So it's because the Pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, Ayyib devavar hazel, l'chatas beis Yeravim, that it was for this thing, that it was a sin for the house of the Yeravim, ulahachid ulahashmid me'al panei adama, and to obliterate and to destroy from upon the face of earth. Lahakid, what are these two terminologies? Lahakid was referring to Ba'olam HaZeh in this world. Ulahashman was Ba'olam HaBa for the world to come, that he has no portion in the world to come. Now, Amr B'yechon, the Rechon says, B'mnei Mazachi, Yeravim Malchus, what did he do to merit, if he's such a wicked person, to merit to become the king, which he was the king over the 10 tribes? Says the Gemara, B'mnei Sheikhich HaShleima, because he rebuked Shleima, as the Gemara says later on. Now, B'mnei Ma'anenesh, why did he get punished? B'mnei Sheikhich HaBaram, because he rebuked him in public to embarrass him. Shlomach says, the Pesukim Malachim Alva says, Bezeh HaDava Shehir Miyad B'melech, and this is the thing that he lifted a hand against the king, where Shlema Bana Esa Miloi. Shlema built the Miloi, which is one of the breaches that there were in the wall, and he was Miloi, he filled up the wall of the breach there that was in the wall, and he built a tower for the daughter of Pari, who was his wife, and for the men who serve her. Now, previously, the Pasuk had mentioned, Vayor Miyad Melech, he lifted up the hand against the king, which is that he said certain things to the king and rebelled against him. Which is this, what the Pasuk is referring to, where he was talking about that what Shlema had done, Sogas Peretz Ir David Aviv, that he closed up the breaches of the city of David, his father. What was this that he had embarrassed him, that he rebuked him, which he merited, but he also lost because of that, because he did it in public. Amalei, he said to Shlema, David Avicha Paritz Pirtzes Bechem, your father David made breaches in the wall. Why? Kadesh Yal Yisrael L'Regel, so that the Jewish people should have ways to come into Yerushalayim to do Alili Regel. Vata Gedarta Isim, you went and you closed up those breaches so that people should have to go through the gateways to know who's coming in. Kadesh Sangari, so that you should be able to collect taxes, labas pari, for the daughter of pari, who is your wife. Or another interpretation is that he closed up the gates and he made a tower for his wife, the daughter of pari, by one of the gates, and everyone had to pass through there so that they should all be with her to honor and to serve her. And in that sense, all the service of the house of the king is called angaria, not just taxes, but that everyone should pay homage to his wife, the queen. Or another interpretation is that Shlomo was common to close the gates of the courtyard, and he would hide the keys by him. Now, a king sleeps late, 3 hours into the day, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, and the Jewish people would be waiting by the Azara until the king would get up. So Yeruvim told Shlomo, the reason why you did this was because you wanted to make Angari to Bas Pari your wife, so that everyone should have to bribe her to give her money to get the keys from her husband, the king, and that's why you did it. Now, ask the Gemara, my Bezash Ahar Miyad B'melech, so that's what he rebuked him. What does it mean when it says in the Pasuk that he lifted up a hand against the king? Rav Nachman Shecholetz Tfilov Bifonov, it's that he removed his tefillin in front of Shlomo, where he should have turned to the side because of the trepidation one has to have for the king, and remove it not in front of him. Or another interpretation is that he removed his tefillin in front of him, where he was coming to fight with him strongly, so he had to take off his tefillin first. Now, according to the first interpretation, that when they take off his tefillin, it's not appropriate to have an uncovered head in front of the king. And that's where he started rebelling against the king, showing as if to tell him, like, you're not the king, and then we're starting up to fight with him, either one, taking off the tefillin itself, or as a sign of saying that, I don't think you're like a king, was rebellion against the king. Now, Rav Nachman says, Gasas haruach shahayu b'yiravim, the haughtiness of his spirit that was in Yiravim, tirdasim no'ilim, is what chased him out of this world. Why? Because the pasuk says, Malachim Aleph, v'yem Yiravim b'liba. Yiravim said in his heart, Ata tashav hamamlocha lebeis David. He was worried, he has such a balgaiva, he was worried, now the kingdom is going to go back to the household of David. Why? If the people from the whole of Eretz Yisrael, which they always used to do, are going to go up to bring karbanis in the house of Hashem in Yerushalayim on the Shalosh Regalim, so then the heart of this people is going to go back to their masters, El Rechavim, El Yehuda, to Rechavim, the king of Yehuda, who is the true kings, that of the Davidic dynasty, V'harguni, they're going to kill me, B'shav El Rechavim, El Yehuda, they're going to go back to Rechavim, the king of Yehuda. Because as the Gemara explains, Amar Yeruvim said, Gemir, we have a tradition, which Talachal Meshav Asin, and not from a Pasig, the Ein Yeshiva Ba'azara, El Malchad Beis Yehuda Belvad. No one's allowed to sit in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, only the kings of the Davidic dynasty. Now, Kivin Duchazul Leil Yeruvim Yosef, now if I'm going to come there, like all Jewish people, because they're all going to come, I'm going to be there, and Rechavim is going to be there, the king of Yehuda. And they're going to see him sitting, I'm going to be standing, because only Malchad Beis Yehuda could sit. Savri ha-malkav avda, they're going to think, oh, here's the king and here's the slave. Now, v'yisivna, and if I do sit, mered b'malchas avda, I'm going to be considered rebelling against the king, but currently they're going to kill me. V'azlo basrei, they're going to go after Rechavim. Miyad, immediately, as the pasuk says afterwards, v'yivoatz ha-melech, the king took counsel, v'yashne eglizav, and he made 2 golden calves, v'yem alem, and said to the Jewish people, rav lechem alois Yerushalayim, you had enough of going up to Yerushalayim, hine alehech yisrael asher luchem eretz Mitzrayim, these are the gods that took you out from the land of Egypt. He put one of the golden calves in Basil, and the other one they put in Dan. Now the Gemara says, my vayivot, so what does it mean that he took counsel, which obviously ended up chasing him out because of the gaiva he had, that he didn't want people to go to Rechavim instead of Hid, which ended up leading to him making Avay Dizar, which was the downfall. What does it mean that he took counsel? Amar Yehudi says, Shahishiv Rosha Itzol Tzadik. When he made this counsel, when he ultimately told them that he wants to make a Tzelem, an Avay Dizar, one in Basil, one in Dan, which they ended up agreeing to him, how did he do this? It's because he placed a wicked person near a righteous person. So Amar Lehu, he said to his assembly, Chasmiso al kol davidno, are you going to sign off on everything that I do? Amar Lehin, they said, yes, you're our king, your Rabbi. Amar Lehu, he said to them, Malkabin al Mava, I want to be the king. Amar Lehin, they said, yes, no problem, you be the king. Called Amin Lucha Avdisu, whatever I tell you, you'll do. Amar Lehin, they said yes. So he said, Afil Lemiflech Labaitz Kechavim, even to do Abaydazar. So Amar Leh Tzadik, a righteous person, spoke up. He says, Chas V'Shalom, we would never do such a thing. Amar Leh Rosh Leh Tzadik, so the wicked person that was right next to the righteous person, says to the righteous person, Soka Deitech Digavi Ki Yeravim Palach Abaydaz Kechavim, were you entertained to think that someone like Yeravim, who is a great person, is going to do Abaydazar? It's just testing you. You can accept what he says. If we're complete with him and we're agreeable to be on his team. That's how the wicked would fool the righteous until they all signed on whatever Yeruvim wanted. And then once they signed on it already, they couldn't take back, which was even an agreement to have the Avodah Zarah, which they thought was just a way of showing that they're a subordinate, but really it was to bring Avodah Zarah. As Gemara continues at the top of Kof Beis Amud Aleph, Af Achia Sheloini Ta, and even Achia Sheloini was a great tzaddik, he made the mistake, and he also thought it was just to test them if they're agreeable to Yeravim B'chasim, and he signed on that incident. How do we know this? The Yehu Tzadika Rabba Haba. Yehu was a very righteous person. Shem like the pasuk says in Melachim Beis, V'yem Hashem El Yehu, Hashem said to Yehu, Yan Asher Tivoyis Alas Zayasha Be'enai, since you did the good which was right, which was straight in my eyes, says Hashem, Kachol Asher Bulvavi Asis L'Beis Achav, whatever was in my heart, you did to the household of Achav. So therefore, in reward, B'nei Revim Yeshvalach Al Kisa Yisrael, that fourth generations will be sitting for you on the throne of the Jewish people. So he's a very righteous person. Yet in spite of that, it says after that, that Yehu did not safeguard to go in the way of Hashem's Torah, the God of the Jewish people, with all his heart. He did not remove himself from the sin which Yeravim brought as a sin on the Jewish people, which was the Avodah Zarah of the golden calves that he put up. My Garmalei, what caused Yehu to do that Avodah Zarah? So one interpretation of Mabayi says, Bris Krusulis Vasayim, it's because there's a covenant that's made for the lips. Because what a person says becomes, there's a reality to that. Shneim, like it says in earlier Pasig, that Yehu had said because he wanted to destroy all those who do the Avodah Zarah of the Baal. So as a way of plotting to get them all together in one place, he wanted to make believe that he does this Avodah Zarah, which Chaz Hashem that he did. He said, Achav Ovad HaBaal Ma'at. He says, Achav served the Baal very little. Yehu Yavdeinu Harba, Yehu does it a lot. So people were saying, wow, he wants to do Avodah Zarah. All the Avodah Baal came and he was able to wipe them out. But since he said, Yehu Avdeinu Harba, that lips that said those words ended up leading him to do Avodah Zarah. But Rav Amar, he says a different interpretation, which was leading back to what we said before, Chesame Shel Achia Sheloini Ra. He saw the seal of Achia Sheloini on that document which Yeravim had them sign to make Avodah Zarah, Vita, and he made a mistake. Meaning the inference is that obviously Achia Sheloini had made the same mistake regarding the Avodah Zarah of the Igla Zav, which was, that's how Yeravim got them to do that, and all started because of his Gasas HaRuach, because he didn't want people to go to Rechavim instead of him, which led to the downfall of Yeravim.